We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now to join the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We're welcomed by Paul Schwartz. He covers the Giants for the New York Post. Paul, thanks a lot for giving us some time, man. How was your holiday?
Holiday was excellent. It's nice to find things to be thankful for, especially in a Giants season where they've lost seven straight games. So, not a lot to be thankful for as far as Giants wins, but otherwise in life, a lot to be thankful for, obviously.
Completely agree with you, man. And I mean, you guys are 2-9. The Giants are 2-9 this season. But there have been some bright moments, right? Daniel Jones has thrown a touchdown in 9 straight games. His 17 touchdown passes leads all rookies. Only one interception in his last 4 games. What's your takeaway from what you've seen early in Daniel Jones' career?
Well, when when anyone gets near him, he drops the ball and fumbles it, so that's not good. He leads the league with 10 fumbles, 10 lost fumbles. I think opponents, all his turnovers, he's got 18 turnovers, 10 fumbles, 8 interceptions. I think opponents have turned that into 68 points, so that's not acceptable. He's a young quarterback who's developing. He's a big guy. He's a tough guy. Athletic, moves well, moves better than you think a 6'5", 220-pound guy would move. I'm not sure that he's, going to ever be a great quarterback, but I like what I see as far as his toughness. I think the older players around him believe in him. He's done some good things, but it hasn't translated to winning. Now, Eli Manning was 1-6 as a starter in 2004 when he took over, so things that Eli Manning was doing didn't translate to winning when he was a rookie. And I would say I covered Eli Manning back then, and Daniel Jones is further along in his development as a rookie than Eli was back then. So, these are growing pains you got to get through. It's just too bad that the team around him can almost never pick him up. So when he does make a mistake, it's not picked up by anybody, and they can't find a way to get out of that. The defense is bad. But, I think for the most part, people are happy that Daniel Jones is the Giants quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, what is his reputation like in the locker room? You bring up Eli Manning, and I remember when they brought him in when he was young, and he threw a touchdown pass to Jeremy Shockey, I remember, and it seemed like his teammates really did start to rally around him, and he was a leader in that locker room. Do you see the same from Daniel Jones? Are guys buying into him?
Oh, yeah, guys are buying into him. I mean, they have no choice. I mean, most of these guys are mercenary, transient guys who haven't been here long. And Daniel Jones is going to be here for a long time. So if they don't buy into him, it's their problem, because Daniel Jones is the guy who's the glue to the franchise right now. The vast majority of these other guys are not. But he's very low-key. He's one of the reasons the Giants really liked him in the draft was he's very Eli Manning-esque. I mean, he was trained by David Cutcliffe, who was Eli's coach at Ole Miss now, Cutcliffe at Duke, obviously. He doesn't say a whole lot. He's not a social media guy at all. He's very conservative in a lot of the things, a lot of the way he acts. Not a outrageous guy in any way sense at all. But, I think, behind the scenes, he's a little more verbal, a little more vocal. But, he's a 22-year-old quarterback who loses almost every game he plays. So there's not a lot of great vibes coming out around the Giants right now, especially, even with Daniel Jones.
Right. How has Eli accepted being benched and with the backup role? And do you think that he still has a shot to play in this league, maybe somewhere else, or is that pretty much the end of the Eli Manning era in the NFL?
Well, Eli Manning, this was announced after week 2 on a Tuesday that they were making this change. Eli spoke with the media on that Wednesday, the next day, and hasn't spoken since. So, he's not in the locker room much. When he's in, he's just in, passing through his locker. So he has not spoken at all to the media since that first day he was benched and spoke about it and said he was disappointed in the timing. Eli Manning, I know from people, around him, certainly thought that this was a possibility that, he's no dummy. He's a smart guy. He knows when you draft a guy number 6 in the draft that the 38-year-old incumbent who's lost the last few years needs to win. They didn't win their first 2 games. They lost them both. And so, you know, but he thought he had more time. You know, he did not think they would pull the plug on him after only two games. You know, I know he said, you know, he worked so hard, you know, to make this right, and he didn't think after two games that that would be it. He thought it would be three, four, five, six, seven, eight games, however many games, but certainly not two. But he's helped Daniel Jones behind the scenes. You know, Daniel Jones speaks about how Eli's been supportive, helps him. But, you know, Eli's not a real touchy-feely guy. You know, I don't think Eli Manning sits down and regales Daniel Jones with, oh, when I was a rookie, I was really bad in this game, and I had a terrible passer rating in this game, and you'll get through it, and it's okay. You know, I don't think he's a shoulder to cry on. I think he is a guy who can help Daniel Jones kind of figure out what defenses are doing and things like that. I do think this is the end of the line for Eli. I don't think he has a no-trade clause in his contract. Any trades during this year would have been totally incumbent on Eli signing off on them. I know he's 38. He's got a wife and four kids, all pretty young, the kids. He's going to stay in New Jersey. I don't think he's going to uproot his family. I don't think he wants to just go anywhere next year when he's a free agent and can call his shots. So I think we've seen the last of Eli Manning as far as, you know, playing NFL football.
That almost makes me sad, even as a Packers fan and even with the history. We're talking with Paul Schwartz. He covers the Giants. He has since 1994, since the New York Post. Looking at the injury report, especially from the 28th, a lot of guys not practicing. Evan Ingram, as well as Rhett Ellison. The Packers continue just to give up big yardage to tight ends. What's the latest on the injury report? Any chance we see Evan Ingram?
Well, there's no chance that the Packers will give up big yards to tight ends this Sunday. Okay? None.
You promise?
Unless none. Unless Jeremy Shockey and Mark Bavaro storm the gates, put on their old uniforms, and come back. No chance. Because, well, Evan Ingram won't play. He's got an injury. He's got a foot injury. He will not play. Rhett Ellison is in the concussion protocol. There's a chance he gets cleared of that today. Even if he does, he will, he's a blocking tight end. You know, he can catch the ball if he gets open and run a little bit. So, you know, he may, if he plays. I don't even think he will. But if he gets cleared from the protocol, you know, he can catch a 15-yard pass and run for another 10 yards, and that's about it. Otherwise, the Giants are really, really shorthanded. They have a guy, Scott Simonson, who was on the team last year, who's a blocker. They have a rookie, Caden Smith, who caught a 3-yard touchdown pass last week. But, you know, there's a much better chance Saquon Barkley, you know, hurts them in the passing game. And even though he hasn't done much of that coming out of the backfield this season, really. But, that's not a problem for the Packers on Sunday.
Ever since Saquon suffered that high ankle sprain, he's just looks like something's been off a little bit. Is that the offensive line, or is he starting to get healthy? I read one of your latest pieces that he doesn't want to make any excuses. What have you seen lately from Saquon, though?
Well, he doesn't want to make any excuses. You know, the Giants made a big deal that, he had a high ankle sprain. Usually that's a 4 to 6, really a 6 to 8 week injury, and especially for a running back who's got a cut and plant down on an ankle all the time. And he made it back. He only missed 3 games and came back, and you know, they said, oh, he's Superman, he's Super Saquon, you know, he's not like other athletes. And he comes back, and he wasn't right after he came back. So, you know, I don't know if they outsmarted themselves, but you know, there's a reason why these injuries take so long for almost everybody. It was commendable that he got back on the field. I don't know if it was the smartest thing. He's gotten stronger in recent weeks. Look, I mean, the guy had 13 carries and 1 rushing yard against the Jets. Now, the Jets have a pretty good run defense. They really do. But 1 rushing yard for Saquon Barkley on 13 carries, it almost seems, you know, physically impossible, for such a good player. So he has not been the same. But he said this week, you know, he actually pointed to some plays that he made last week in Chicago and said, does that look like I was hurt? So please stop saying I'm hurt. Please stop saying I'm injured. You know, that's it. No excuses. It's been a downer of a sophomore year for him. You know, he was the offensive NFL offensive rookie of the year last year, 1,300 yards, 15 total touchdowns. And, the year has not gone the same. You know, he was better before the ankle injury. Since he's really, just been another back. I think we'll probably see a good game or two from Saquon down the stretch here. You know, I'm not quite sure if it'll be this week. It's been a downer. And, you know, when you draft a guy number two and say he's a generational talent, then he has to be the focal point of your offense. And that's one thing that Daniel Jones has really not had to lean on, is a great running back, because Saquon Barkley has not been that. And it's been the offensive line. You know, they're not a blow you off the line of scrimmage offensive line, but you know, it is a pretty veteran group, and I think the Giants thought that this group would be a little better at opening some of these holes for Saquon.
It's crazy to think when you think of all the changes that the Packers had to make, obviously firing head coach Mike McCarthy, Matt LaFleur in his first year, but you look at the Giants, they're 2-9 this season. These teams just met in 2017 in the NFC wildcard game. Both teams on a different route right now. Do you think the Giants are close to getting this thing fixed? I know, you know, I listen to a lot of New York sports talk radio, so you get different opinions, but do you think that they're close on this rebuild, that they could build something here soon, or are they just far off right now?
Well, they think they have a quarterback, and you know, I think they probably have a quarterback, so that's always a good place to start. But close, I mean, I don't know how anyone could say they're close. I mean, their records, they were 3-13, they were 5-11, and now they're 2-9. Okay, it's the worst three going into 4 year stretch ever, except since 1973 to 1976, when they were just an abysmal franchise, you know, towards the tail end of not making the playoffs in 17 consecutive years. And that's just mind-boggling, isn't it? That was how bad it was in the 60s and 70s, that 17 years they went without making the playoffs. So, no, I don't think they're close. I mean, I think their defense is, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to look out on the field on Sunday and see four players in the defensive backfield, not all starting, but four players who will all play who are either rookies or first-year players with no experience. And you know, I know it hasn't been a highlight film passing attack this year for the Packers, but, you know, this is a get-healthy week for the Packers passing game because, you know, they're going to be guys out there like Corey Ballantyne and DeAndre Baker and Julian Love and Sam Beal. I mean, these are all young guys who are kind of swimming and their heads are swimming. So, they're having their problems. They give up a lot of big plays. So, no, I don't think they're close. I mean, I think they're in a rebuilding situation. And, you know, they have the Dolphins left on the schedule. You know, they have the Redskins left on the schedule. And, you know, if they don't win those games and they finish 2-14, it's going to be hard for ownership to look the fans in the eyes and say, we're going to bring Pat Shurmur back after 5-11 and 2-14. And I know they don't want to make a change, and they'd like Pat Shurmur to stay with Daniel Jones and help in his development. But, you know, you can't lose every game you play. That's all there is to it.
Right. If you had to make a prediction for Sunday at noon, Packers-Giants, what would you go with here?
I would unequivocally go with the Packers. you know, the Packers would have to lay a complete egg for the Giants to win this game. Now, you know, because the NFL, things happen, and the Packers are coming off a terrible performance against the 49ers, and, you know, the 49ers might be the best team in the NFC and might be the best team in the NFL. So, very disappointing loss, but you can see how the seeds of that loss, you know, were grown. I think it'll be an upset if the Packers don't score 30. So I think it's a moderately comfortable Packer victory. You know, don't forget, there will be a lot of Packer fans in the building. You know, the Packers travel well. They don't come to the Giants, they don't come to MetLife Stadium often. And there will be a lot of green and gold and cheeseheads in the building. And, I think they will be heard. So, you know, that's the fate of a team that's losing, playing these, you know, cold last month games. You get a lot of opposing teams in a building. You know, the Eagles come in to MetLife Stadium soon, and there'll be a lot of Eagles fans in the building. So that's the price you pay for being bad.
Paul, thanks a lot, man. Enjoy your weekend.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Thank you. That was Paul Schwartz. You could find his work at the New York Post. He's been covering the New York Giants since 1994, so he's seen some good times, and now he's witnessing some really, really, really bad times. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.